and welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Lelo B, and I'm with my mates, Gia and Lighton.
Hey,
hi, guys.
Hello. Sipping wine.
Ooh, if you have wine.
How come you still have wine? How come you still have wine?
Hello,
because
guys.
I was drinking my wine in portions. I went through like a whole 3 weeks without drinking, so you know.
You're not soliciting alcohol illegally or anything of that sort. No.
Not getting from friends, just bringing me. It's nothing illegal. No. Penalty.
Exactly.
Oh, you guys are.
We're not going to trip. We're not going to say anything incriminating.
I almost trapped you there. I wanted to trap you there.
Of course not. So, guys, before we start, does anybody have an apology they want to send to Susan?
No. Hey, I apologize for not following you, Susan. That's my apology. Homie's collecting these apologies.
I don't know. He is. Like, I actually had even forgotten about Susan up until this last week. I was like, oh, by the way, there's Susan. I completely forgot about him. I'm like, so maybe I'll need to apologize for this comment.
Okay, so this week, this whole month is Africa Month, right? Because on the 25th of May, we celebrate Africa Day. And it's just we make this big hoo-ha about how proud we are of being African. And I think I'm actually wondering how many of us who celebrate Africa Day know where it comes from. Do you guys know where it comes from?
Isn't it the day when the African Union was formed or something like that?
All right.
I just know that's the 57th edition.
Yeah, so its origins can be traced back to like April 15, 1958. Where the first conference of independent African states were brought, you know, they brought the fathers of Africa's liberation movements together, and they were all, it was like a collective platform from different African states to kind of reject colonialism. So that was the original intent. So I think if we were uniting back then to kind of reject colonialism, what does it mean today? I think that's not what That's maybe what I need help with. So what does it mean today, you know?
Well, I feel like for me, what it means today in the new Africa, I think it's uniting together to find ways to push Africa forward. I think that's the context that I think, works in this moment.
I think colonialism does have, is still rooted deeply in our people and in the way that we do things. There's a them and us type of thing still going on in Africa, and I think those are the barriers that we need to start breaking and talking about now, because it's a South Africa against the rest of Africa, when actually it should be Africa, you know, uniting against the world. So I think we still have a lot of mental and emotional challenges that we need to fight, and as an African continent, because we're still one bashing heads, you know, as a people, when we actually should be working together to find African solutions. We're constantly trying to find an American solution, a British solution to African problems, when actually we have the solutions here. We're just not tapping into our potential as much as we should.
Okay, I 100% agree with you, Kia. We have to kind of be together. You know, this whole, I think that we've talked a lot about the xenophobic things that happen here, and how we sometimes, even as South Africans, think we are better than other countries, until you actually go and meet the people there and see what's happening. Then you're like, there's no one that's better than the other. We are all different, and it's our differences that actually make us unique. And you know, can you imagine if we all just pulled together, we would achieve amazing things. So that meeting that I was just reading an article that was just talking about the origins of Africa Day, and it was saying that meeting, the first meeting started in April 15, 1958, and then as a result of that first meeting, then they formed the Organization of African Unity, which was later rebranded then want to be called the African Union, and then it was launched on May 25, 1963 by 32 free nations, you know, that were not colonized. And then it was led by Tanzania, Julius Nyerere. Julius Nyerere, this name, everybody knows this name in Africa, I think.
Yes.
Everyone knows this name in Africa. If you don't, go get your school fees back.
Julius Nyerere, Kwame Nkrumah, you have to know his name.
It was led by Julius Nyerere, Kwame Nkrumah as well as Kenneth Kaunda of Zambia, and Sekou Toure, from Guinea. So since then, since 1963, then, you know, we've been celebrating Africa Day every year on May 25th. So guys, I don't know, what is the one thing that makes you proud to be African? I know this is like such a cliche type question to ask, but yeah.
I would say for me, it's in a very like non, you know, intellectual way, or I don't know if that's the right way to pose it, but I think it's how Africans have got like the sauce. Like, I think Africans have got like style, they've got like a vibe about them that is, you cannot get anywhere. And I think you can tell by how African culture has influenced a lot of things, even like globally. And for me, that makes me really proud to be African. And at the moment, what makes me be proud to be African is like a lot of our artists, like, artists in every sphere, you know, like music, fashion and everything, they're just, you know, crossing over to the West, and they're doing great things, and you can tell that like some of these Western designers are also tapping into the African market, and singers and everyone, because they just, you know, they're trying to get that like fresh vibe from Africa, be it like fashion or Afro beats or whatever it is. So yeah.
Okay. And
I think I really love Black people or African people's creativity. We are a creative bunch of people. And since civilization, you know, the hunter-gathering times, our people have always just been creative. And I also love how, whether we are happy, whether we are sad, whether we are finding ourselves challenged, we break out in song. Like, there is no, like, Black or African people, rather, just have a song for every vibe, whether it is a depressing vibe, siyacula. Sijabulile, siyacula. It's a graduation, siyacula. It's a funeral, siyacula. It's a, you know, it's heartbreak, uyacula. Like, you are just within, you know. And I think for me, whether you're bimba, whether unevaivai, whether, like, we just understand each other. One person can just start one jam and we all run with it. And I just love it.
Yeah.
We're a very celebratory type of people, despite our challenges.
Yeah, I like that. I think you guys have both like reflected things that I also think make me proud to be African. And I think we are such warm people. I feel like you can go anywhere in the continent and you will feel like you are home. People are so warm. People are so welcoming. And I think that humanity, that spirit of humanity and of caring for one another that we've got, even though we fight sometimes, but deep down in our hearts, we've got that, you know, that whole family and community, the community that exists. So I like that. I like that about us. And of course, we are so beautiful. Africans are
amazing. Okay.
And guys, I think, you can't talk about being proud of Africa and not mention the food. Can you imagine? The food, I think, food is a big part of who we are as Africans. And, yeah, I can't imagine.
Food brings us together.
In Africa, without food, it does.
And that food brings us together.
Okay, obviously, yes, there's lots of things that obviously still need to be worked on throughout our continent, but more than anything, I think the pride is there. We love it. We love being Africans. We love, we are proud. We are proud to be African. So,
and look, other people love us too, actually, a lot. They do. Guys, you travel the world and someone's like, oh, you're from Africa. And they're like, hey. They automatically just like get drawn to you because you're from Africa.
Yeah. Do you know something? And I'm like, Sissy, I'm from South Africa.
Completely different country.
Completely. Okay, guys, so I think today we are just taking a break from all these heavy, heavy conversations that we've been having, and not really heavy, but serious conversations that we've been having, and we just want to relax today. That's why we've got wine.
Yes.
We just want to relax and have fun, so we are going to skip the office discussion for this particular episode, and we are having tea time, the extended version.
Yes. Ooh. Can't wait.
Yes. I can't wait.
So Lighten is going to be blessing us with gossip.
Ooh, I am ready. I hope you guys are ready too.
And we are.
So Lighten, will you take us through what are we discussing today in tea time?
Okay, cool. So I'm so glad that we're doing tea time, like the extended version, because I feel like a lot of things have been happening during the lockdown, and now we get time to like address it and like chat about it and like, you know, and see what we think about some of those things. So first and foremost, it would be like sacrilegious not to start off with this topic. So Blood and Water, the second Netflix African original, debuted this past week. Oh my God, you guys, I am so excited about that show. It has been number one in South Africa, the US, Kenya, France, and Jamaica. Can you imagine that though? Right? Like the fact that it's not only number one where they can understand English, it's number one in France. You know, that's like brilliant. That's a big thing.
Brilliant.
Sorry, Lela.
I was saying, were they watching with subtitles, probably? Yeah.
Exactly. And that's such a big thing. And like globally, it's around top 10 in Brazil, Switzerland, Belgium, Mauritius, and also Nigeria. So that's actually quite like a thing that makes me so proud. And what do you think that means for African storytellers and stories? What do you think?
I haven't watched it yet. I was going to watch it today, but I am going to only watch it in the week. And I've only seen, I've muted everyone on my social media that writes about it. I've muted the hashtag. I'm not following anyone that's been talking about it. So at least I haven't seen much about it. But I've been seeing some great reviews. And I'm so happy because we're telling our stories the way we want to tell them. We're not having other people tell our stories for us. And the fact that, you know, a Black woman is leading this team of great creatives and taking our stories to the world, for me, that's like magnificent. So, Siyabonga Mbokoto, well done. I'm proud, and I'm definitely gonna watch it. I won't hesitate. I'm just busy, but I'm gonna watch it this week, definitely. But I'm definitely proud.
So yeah, I think that's the beauty of Netflix. You can watch it whenever you want to watch it, but I really am super proud of that production. And it's young people, it's fresh faces, and you know, I think like every single character, they pull it off. Whatever they require to perform, they pull it off, and they're so believable. I was talking to a friend of mine and saying, I can't believe how when you look at Gail Mabalani, she looks super young, but in the show, she's someone's mother. She's a mother to a 17-year-old, and it's believable. When you watch that show, it's believable, like she could be this girl's mother, but in person she looks super young. So I loved it, man, and I think it was also nice to see, like, you know, Xolile Tshabalala there, Silo Maki Kancube,
oh wow,
the legend.
Okay.
Yeah, he's also in there. It was so nice. I was just like surprised, like, oh my God, a teenager's having so much sex. But anyway, it's really nice. I love it. I love Blood and Water. I think I think it's a great follow up to Queen's Rock, definitely.
I completely think so. And I'm so glad that you brought up, like, you know, the casting. I think the casting was so brilliant. And you know, like Amakamata and Kosingiama, they were so good as leads in that show. Like I was so obsessed. And you know what else I liked was that it was so unexpected, right? Like the face was so unexpected. We haven't seen Kolle Shabalala in a long time on our screens. So it was like such a good thing to see her in there. And like you said, I think what worked with Gail and Amma's characters was that I think their chemistry was so strong that it was believable. And I think you look past like how they look because of that chemistry. It's so good. It's so rich. And yeah, it's so exciting. I think yeah, like get on it ASAP. What did you think of the storyline? What is the pull in your opinion, and were you expecting it? What did you find very intriguing about the storyline? Spoiler alert.
No, I won't say anything. I don't think it was something that I have seen. It was not expected. It was very different from the usual stuff we get in SA. Yes, because they are teenagers, some of the themes are kind of common to stuff that teenagers get up to and all of that. But there wasn't a moment where I was like, oh, I'm bored, and I get bored very quickly these days when I watch TV. I guess it's because I've watching so much TV, but I was intrigued. I was only have 6 episodes. I watched 3 episodes and I started at 8. I watched 4 episodes in one night, and then it got to midnight. And I'm like, okay, I have to go sleep. And then I finished off the rest the next day. So I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And my son also watched it. So he's a teen. He was like, oh, I watched the first episode and it's amazing. So by the time I got to watch, I already had, you know, like that feedback from him. So, I think the storyline itself was intriguing for me. I was kept engaged.
Well, that's good.
Great. Yeah, you know what I liked about the storyline was that it wasn't expected, and I think that's the word that I'm going to use about this show. It's a lot of things are not expected, and what wasn't expected particularly for me was how they dealt with like that dichotomy between rich and poor. It wasn't the what we usually see, like, you know, because it's like a template that we usually see all the time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that. And I also like that they could have easily, you know, it being like set and shot in Cape Town, they could have easily like gone with like white people. For them, you know, like it could have worked for some reason, but I think having it be a black story was the best thing ever, because I felt like it was very, very different. Because when I saw it, I actually immediately, when I saw the teasers, I thought, oh my God, like, you know, there's another show with Saint Agnes on another streaming.
Oh, service. Yeah.
You know, so I was like, yeah. So I was thinking, is it going to be something like that? So I was already expecting something in that realm, because it's also set in a school, also around students and teenagers and stuff. But then I was so pleasantly surprised about a lot of things that they touched on, like sexuality, but not in a crass way, in like a brilliant way. It was so brilliant. I was taken aback. So
yeah, we definitely recommend that you watch it on Netflix.
Definitely. You need to check it out on Netflix. And round of applause for Nosipa Dumisa. She is the director of the show, and she's the first African woman and black woman who has debuted at on number one in the US, the Netflix. So that is great.
Wow.
And I hope that she goes very far, and I pray that she does. So I'm so excited. So excited.
Yeah. Don't be.
Okay, guys, so another story that has been setting up Twitter alight has been the story of Miss South Africa hopeful, Bianca. How do you pronounce her last name?
Whatever it is.
Hey, whatever it is.
Her last name is.
Let's call it.
Are you African?
Skumbe or something, or Skumb, whatever it is.
Skumbi.
Yeah, Skumbi.
Skumba.
Bianca Skumba. Oh my God. Bianca Skumba, Lela.
Bianca Skumba.
Yeah. If you do not know, Bianca is like a Christian girl who entered Miss SA, you know, in hopes of being crowned the queen of the land. And she was like, you know, she didn't really think about it because soon after that happened, well, let me pause before I continue with that one. So apparently she was actually being ranked higher, that really high amongst the people that have entered Miss, that had entered Miss South Africa this year. So that's the other context. And but her old tweets started resurfacing. Thank you to the Twitter thugs, guys. I'm so scared of Twitter. Like, I can't. And so these tweets were made like from when she was like 14 and 15. So they basically derogatory, they're racist, and they are body shaming. It was really, really, really bad. Honestly, like I was reading some of them, I was like, oh my god, that's, you know, that is really not great. But not only did that happen, her former schoolmates like went on Twitter to actually confirm, some people that claimed to have worked with her went on Twitter to confirm that yes, we went to school with this girl at matric, and she and her squad were bullies, and they would call people the K word. So it was, yeah, there was a lot. There's a lot that happened. So what do you guys think about it, really? What do you think about the situation? You know, I know she's gone on to apologize and withdraw from the race, but what do you think about the situation? Lelo, is that?
Shame. She's so cute, though. She's such a cute girl. So I can imagine, like, what she was feeling, you know, when everything unraveled and she got exposed. But unfortunately, I don't feel sorry for her. I think if we are being honest, we all say stupid things, you know, when we are young, things that now that we are older, we know we have learned and we have unlearned and we now know better and so on. But I think the problem with some of them is that they were like outright racist type comments. So do you unlearn racism? I don't know. So I kind of feel sorry for her because she probably grew up in an environment where it was okay to make such comments, to make such jokes, and to say such things, and it's like, you know, normal everyday thing. But unfortunately, as much as yes, I do acknowledge that yes, she possibly is a better person today. She has learned from, you know, she has learned that those saying those kind of things is not acceptable in, you know, in any day and age, not ever really. But for a Miss South Africa, definitely not someone you want to have in a Miss South Africa context. So yeah, sorry Bianca, but I'm sorry, I don't feel sorry for her. I think it's good that she withdrew, because
COVID-19 has definitely shifted a lot of things, because with Miss SA before, you could get away with a lot purely because entries would go directly to the organizing committee and be reviewed there. We'd only see the ladies when they're like in the top 21. So it's definitely shifted stuff, because now people are submitting their applications or their entries on social media. And I was like, you, Cici, I didn't feel sorry for her from the onset. I don't want to lie to you. But what I think I did almost start thinking about was when there was a counter Twitter profile that was created after the whole Bianca saga that started fishing out in old influencer tweets or popular people on Twitter, and started fishing out their tweets where they spoke about fat people and were dragging niggers and blah blah, and Mang Mang's ugly, and Mang Mang did this, and albinos, and there was some intense content that came out. And for me, I think the biggest lesson was that sometimes we definitely do one need to check our double standards at times, because I do feel that there was a little bit of double standards. But on the racism issue, I definitely don't sit on the fence. Racism is racism, and if you've been taught racism, for me, I believe it's your life. You understand? I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly, but like, yeah. like yep. us, the mannerisms that we've been taught growing up as African people, the things that we think, the things that we say, they live with us, you know, for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So Abelungu were socialized quite a lot to say the things that they say and feel the things that they feel. And I think that's why South Africa to this day is still struggling with the issues that it's struggling with. So the racism part, I will not even jiga duzungayo, but the double standards parts, we definitely do need to check ourselves because, yeah, that one was very tricky and shady.
I agree, you know, with the double standards part. Like, I completely agree with that. But I think my problem with it and in this context is that I think, like, when you are supposed to represent a country, there is no way you can get away with that kind of thing in any case. And you're supposed to represent women in this country, and South African women come in all shapes and sizes, you know, in all colors and whatever. So you cannot have, like, certain sentiments. Clearly, those are sentiments that she has, because if she didn't have them, she wouldn't really voice them, because, you know, she wouldn't really believe them.
But then we question the validity of beauty pageants in its entirety, because if beauty pageants are supposed to represent all women and empower all women, then why are short, stumpy girls not in the show? Why can't I enter Miss SA? You know what I'm saying? So why is it only girls who are 1'7" or 1'8" or whatever, tall and have size 30 waists and look a certain way? And I think that's why Zozi's win was so big for us, because it was like, wow, a home girl with no wig is winning. So maybe we need to actually question whether the validity of beauty pageants. Like, they're nice, it's nice to have, but it's like, are they really representing who we are? Why don't we just cancel the damn thing entirely, actually?
Yeah, I also don't know what the point of Miss SA is, to be quite honest. I don't know. Yes, we were happy that Zozi.
You? Hey, girl. I think I also said Zozi.
We were happy that Zozi Bini won, because I think her win, like you are saying, yeah, it was very different. It was a very different image to what we are used to. You know, someone doesn't who have long hair and who's just got, you know, a afro, and it really, it said something to normal people, just a normal kid growing up, to say, oh wow, I can also, you know, be comfortable in my skin. I can also accept that in the skin that I'm in, I can be beautiful. You know, people that are told you're ugly because your skin is dark, but now you see, oh, I'm in South Africa, is actually someone who looks like me. So therefore, I actually am beautiful as well. And I can believe that I can, you know, be a princess or whatever it is. So besides that, I don't know. Does that, what we felt with Zozibini, does it justify the existence and or the continuation of pageants in Miss South Africa's and Miss Universes and all of those? I don't know.
I was thinking that, like, probably what befalls with her symbolizes, like, a bit of an evolution of what the pageantry world can look like.
Yeah.
So for me, and I think that, for me, at least that's what that symbolizes. But also, just going back to this particular story, I feel like Zozi in every way is a tough act to follow. She's really a tough act to follow. And I think even if she hadn't been racist in her tweets, even if it was just like, you know, body shaming and all of that, I think she wouldn't have actually gone far, because I think Zozi has set a standard that we fortunately need to uphold, actually. Yeah.
Maybe she would have gone far, because people were loving that she was praying for people and she was praying for the country. And people are like, oh, we have a Miss South Africa who prays for the nation. Can we have to have a, what's the pressure to have here? What's the pressure to have, oh, I don't know.
Oh, had it, boss.
What's the pressure to have a Miss South Africa in 2020 during a pandemic? Can't we just postpone it till 2021 when things are normal? And leave Zozibini. Oh, Zozibini, apparently, Zozibini is not even the Miss South Africa anymore, because her first princess became Miss South Africa.
Exactly.
Miss Universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm actually surprised. Why is there a pageant anyway? No one cares.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's over it. I was laughing when Twitter started saying that we can actually have the Zibidi next year, and then they'll just like call her Zozindatu, and then the next year they'll give her another name, Zozindatu, and then.
Okay, cool. So Bianca is well, we don't have to talk about it. Thank goodness. Good luck with your future girl, but not in South Africa.
It is.
She'll be fine. Her skin color.
She'll be fine. But just to wrap it up, what do you think that brings to light about, like, you know, the importance of what you share online and how you say certain things online, or what you actually share online?
I think the internet never forgets, because sometimes you delete stuff, but it stays there. Someone has captured it. Like, how many people delete tweets, but we still see screenshots every year of those tweets?
Yeah.
So the internet never forgets, and I guess it just talks about, if you wouldn't want your mother to see it, don't put it out there. Well, that's some form of a taste. But also, if just think before you tweet. I think that's what it is. And as much as we give people a hard time on social media for, you know, we'll talk about fake outrage and whatever, but I think as much as we give people a hard time about being outraged on social media, it's also good that we are making people account, you know, to account for things that they say, things that they tweet that may be irresponsible, that may be harmful or discriminatory to other people. So the advice is, yes, we have all maybe in back in the day have said things that we may not be proud of today. Yeah. So clean up your act as well. It's always a good idea to go and clean out all your old
exactly.
Before you became a better person, if you can do that. I guess I would say it's and for the future, just think before you tweet.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, so, I agree. RT.
Exactly. So think before you tweet or before you share something online, and also make sure that when you find Jesus, you go back and clean everything that doesn't symbolize Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So moving on to our next tweet, I'm sorry. So I'm going to speak about my girl from Atlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Okay, so before I even proceed, Lelo, are you watching?
I feel like she's going to say no.
Okay, just like that.
So that's face.
I don't watch the show, but I listened to an interview that the Breakfast Club, the Charlamagne and them, were interviewing Nene Leakes on the show. Mm-hmm. And after that interview, I started watching clips on Twitter of, you know, the things that were happening. So I kind of have an idea of what was happening, and, you know, everybody's now saying Portia is the boss and da 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 da. So
yeah. Oh, there
I don't watch, but I have the.
Okay, great. Because I was thinking, because I know how you're like the housewives or whatever. So, but like, let's get into it.
Yes.
So, the Real Housewives of Atlanta had the season 12 reunion. It was the virtual reunion. So basically, how the reunion was, they got like a producer for every single housewife. So for Eva Mistil, Cynthia, Bailey, Kenya Moore, Nene Leakes, Portia, Williams, and who's the other housewife?
Who do we leave out? Do we leave out, what's her name? The boring one. What's her name again? The one getting married? Eve. Cynthia, did you say Cynthia?
Yes.
And Eve, sorry. Eve or Eva?
Eva, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we've got them all. And so they had this, they had to get like a producer for each and every one of them who set up in their houses. And they, you know, they dressed up, and then they, you know, they showed up like they're going to the actual reunion, except that they were doing like a virtual
yeah,
one, right?
Yeah, they looked good, yeah.
Reunion.
They looked good. I will say, though, you know what? If none of you have seen it, or if you haven't seen it,
I've watched it.
It's actually so much better than what I thought it would be.
Same here.
Yeah,
same here. I agree. When Lighten was like, reunion's going to be virtual, I was like, oh, this is going to be so boring. It was going to miss the cattiness. Because honestly, guys, I'm not going to pretend like a Mother Mary. I buy into the Real Housewives franchise because of the catchiness. Meow, meow. And I was like, oh, it's going to be virtual. They're not going to be meowing at each other. But wow, I was shook. Just in the beginning already, they were already throwing the shade. There were people closing their laptops, you know, closing their cameras. Someone got muted. It was a lot. And I enjoyed it, guys. I don't know about others, but I enjoyed it a lot.
It was a lot. So they basically like went through each and every one, you know, as they would normally do. But Nina Licks, after the, you know, like she did the same breakfast interview that Lelo mentioned earlier, and she was talking about how she had to seek therapy after the reunion because she felt like she was ganged up upon and everything. But then, I don't know what you feel, guys, but my thought about this is that Nene has watched this happen to all the other housewives. Like, one season they did that to Kenya when everyone was against Kenya in one season, and it wasn't like a big deal. Like, I just felt like for me it was a bit like hypocritical that like now because she was in the hot seat and then she's like complaining about everything. And I do get the frustration of how this season went for her because a lot of people were not buying into whatever she was doing. So I do feel like she felt a bit alone and didn't have an alliance, to, so to speak. But I also feel like that is not, she knows what she signed up for. She's been on this franchise for 12 years. So I'm like, why is she surprised?
You know, she's the oldest peach on the damn show. I think Nini's just taking the victim route. She knows exactly what she signed up for, one. And I think Nini struggles to take responsibility for her role in the breakdowns that take place in the group. And then she went onto the show this season with I have a spiritual guide, I have a spiritual therapist, I have a spiritual, so I've changed my life. Homegirl has not changed. And she does have some toxic ways. I mean, she needs to admit that. Like, homegirl needs to admit it. No, honey. She doesn't need to admit it. I'm like, I'm just like, I'm not buying it. And funny enough, she's my favorite, hey? She's actually my favorite.
That's what I was going to ask. Because when I don't watch the show, but I know Nini Leaks. I know her. And she kept, when I listened to the interview, she kept saying that she's the show. And like everybody is when she's not there, then things are boring. Would you agree that
I agree
become boring? So therefore, she's
I agree. I honestly agree. Why? Okay, why do you say? I'm quite curious, but she brings the drama without having to drag it out of her. Everyone else tries so hard to be prim and proper peaches.
I need that new drama. I feel like Nini, of course, like she's the longest one who's been there. She is almost like the face of the housewives. So, you know, like I'll give her that. But I feel like the season that she actually wasn't there was one of the best seasons. It was actually one of the highest rated seasons of Real House of Atlanta. And Real House of Atlanta is the top rating housewife franchise in any case. But like, I just feel like they all bring something to the table. I don't think if Nini was there and had other people that didn't bring out what like Kenya brings out, what Cynthia brings out, I don't think it would be any different than the other housewives that don't really, you know, like get the best ratings that they do. And I also feel like Kenya and Nini do not work well together because they're essentially the same person. Like, it's so funny to watch. It's hilarious, yeah.
And the other one thinks they're better than the other one and more innocent than the other one, but actually you're both toxic. You're both very big hypocrites, and it is what it is. And I struggle to also feel sorry for Kenya on this season with her husband problems because she's always been problematic with other people's husbands. I'm just like, girl, it's life. Unpredictable. It is what it is. Bye, girl. Bye.
I really do say, like, just to touch on a little bit of Kenya's husband, I really feel sad. You know, you could watch the show and you could tell that Kenya's husband doesn't even like Kenya. Never mind love her. Like her. Like, he couldn't even stand her. Like, it was so heartbreaking in some way.
I couldn't understand that.
They are together still, and does the husband appear on the show?
Yes, he does.
He does. So it, from the articles I read afterwards, it seems this guy, the articles insinuated that Mark was with Kenya for money because he wasn't doing so well with his restaurant. And then on the show, you realize that they actually didn't even sign a prenup when they got married. And when you think about it, you're like, actually, why was this wedding such a big secret? Kenya wanted a public wedding. She wanted everyone and her friends and her loved ones to know about the wedding. He didn't. They got married randomly and came back. Oh, Kenya's married. They didn't sign a prenup. He emotionally abuses her. It's like, what the hell? Are you okay in the head? Like, that guy is just bad for her. And I look, I'm not married or anything, so maybe I can't speak on marital issues. But I honestly wouldn't have gone back if I was Kenya. And it seems from the reunion that she's gone back and they're trying to sort things out. But honestly, that he belittles her. He makes her feel this big. And I wouldn't want to be with someone who makes me feel so small.
That's actually so sad. But just moving swiftly along, season 13. So do you think the cast needs to change? Do you think, like, there needs to be a bit of a shake-up? I know a lot of people have been saying that, like, Cynthia and Eva are so boring, they really didn't bring much to the season, or give, like, Marlo a pitch. Marlo is Nina's best friend, like, give her a pitch because, you know, she brings the drama, she brings the message.
What do you guys think of Cynthia and Eva specifically? Do you guys think those that they are entertaining? And did you enjoy their storylines?
Cynthia's always been boring, and her boring storyline adds balance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that she's boring, and her story, like, we don't need too many tigers. So it's okay when you have a little kitten there in the corner, and that's Cynthia. Eva does bring the juice because she's she's unpredictable, and she does lie quite a bit. She lies quite a bit. She forgets the stuff that she says, and I think it's because maybe she had pregnancy brain. But you do need that little spice, because she called, she gave Kenya a nickname. What is it again? It was, there's a nickname that she gave Kenya. I forgot what it was, man. Oh, so that was interesting. I like Eva. I don't think she must go. I think we do need a balance because we can't have too many rahs. But I do wish Phaedra could come back because Phaedra, for me, has A1 shade, and I'm a fan of shade.
Apparently, from what I could hear, apparently Phaedra comes back, then the other lady, what's the musician lady then?
Candy.
Go?
Candy.
Candy. Then Candy leaves because they don't get along. So what if Candy leaves then? Are you okay with Phaedra coming in and Candy leaving?
I think Candy must probably focus on her marriage and her family because that's what has been a big problem for her husband. You see what happens when you a self-made woman, you know, exactly. Marrying for love. This is what happens. I think she must take a break because homeboy is not impressed with her constantly being out at parties, constantly being out with her friends. She doesn't have time for her family, doesn't have time for her husband. So maybe this season she can sit it out and sort out her marital affairs, and then we can enjoy some shade.
Yeah. Oh my God. you're like... really killing me. But just to wrap it all up, so to answer you from my perspective, Lelo, I feel like Cynthia, like, I agree with, like, yeah, like, I feel like Cynthia brings, like, a calmness and a whole, like, a bit of class to, like, wretchedness that happens.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she should stay, because otherwise, if they only had wretched people, it would really be, like, love and hip-hop, which is, like, another thing. But I feel like Eva has been pregnant the two seasons that she's on. If she wasn't pregnant, I don't know what her storyline was.
If she hadn't been pregnant,
I don't know what could have been her storyline. So I don't know. I'm a bit like on the fence about Eva. But I would like Phaedra to come back. Like, I don't really like Phaedra personally, but like to what you said, yeah, like I feel like she throws shade. And I feel like the reason why also Phaedra and Kenya never got along is because Kenya is similar to Nini personality-wise, but I think Phaedra and Kenya are equally smart. Like, they can let you sweat without breaking a sweat themselves, which I feel like that brings, like, an interesting dynamic to the group. So, you know, like, but I don't think Candy would leave. Like, I think it's been, like, a few years that I don't think she would leave. I think that they wouldn't be friends on the show. She would, like, probably not film with her a lot. but I don't think she would like leave. I feel like if it was the year after it happened, she probably would like leave, but then I don't think she will now. So yeah,
I think she's threatened to leave.
Yeah, well, she has.
Calm down, girl.
Yeah, and that's that on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. So moving to Chloe and Tristan.
That's the regular thing.
Oh my God, they are the gift that keeps on giving. And you know what? The other thing that is called the gift that keeps on giving is happies. So I'm comparing them to happies. Just saying.
Oh my God.
Chloe and Tristan Thompson, Chloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson are quarantining together.
They are.
Yes, they are.
I'm shocked. I didn't know this.
You didn't know that? Okay.
No. Until today.
Together. And you know, with America, because they started a bit before us, like maybe like a 2-3 weeks before us. So they've been like together for a long time now. What do you think about it, Lela?
Are they dating or they're just quarantining together because of the baby? Ah, you know what? I don't have an opinion, guys. I feel like Chloe... You're at Angaz, guys. I don't know. Honestly, I don't care. And I feel like Chloe, Tristan is that guy. And I know what it's like when you, like, this guy is my baby daddy, even though you know he's not good for you. But you hold on because he's baby daddy. It's not going to end well. It didn't end well before. It's still not going to end well. So I'm just like, whatever, Chloe. Zosbonela wena phambi. Carry on.
Yeah, guys, this love thing is unpredictable. Hey, like, I'm going to tweet her daisy. And I just like, well, you're that kitty video, yeah. Kitty! Yabo! Kitty! Yabo! That's Chloe. That is Chloe. That guy that dances in the Hello Kitty outfit at a kitty's party. Yabo! That is, That is Chloe. That's her, because honestly, I don't know. And I hate, like, I think commenting on relationships is always so tricky because it can happen to any of us, but this one, no. It's a no from me.
You know what, like, this is one relationship I don't feel bad about commenting on because they give us material. Like, I'm like, you know what, if I'm going to look for your information, then I should feel bad. But if you're already, like, giving us content, I'm like, you know what, Kelly, we are,
how do you know they're quarantining together?
So basically, they have been, it's been reported like various sources and there hasn't been a denial, but it looks like they actually are quarantining together because of the baby. That's what they're saying. It's not like a relationship of any sort. But then during this quarantine, there've been rumors that like Chloe might actually be pregnant, which has led the internet to drag her, obviously, because they're like, well, like, you and your family almost destroyed like Jordan, and then now you're back with the same person. Why did you even go through that whole thing if you're gonna go back? And also, there was an episode of Keeping Up the Kardashians where Chloe was seriously considering having Tristan donate like a sperm to fertilize her egg so that she has the same, she doesn't have two baby daddies, basically. And then, I think like this pregnancy rumors are not helping, you know, given that story that has happened. Like, I don't know, like, I just feel like, I don't know if you think the same way about me, but I just feel like there is like a bit of hypocrisy with the Chloe, with the Tristan and Jordan thing, but I also feel like I almost understand it from her perspective. Let's say she's back with him and whatever. Because also, we're going through a pandemic. If they're, like, in the same house, there's a lot that can happen. We're, like, we're all feeling, like, some kind of things.
Okay, and
we'll get into it in our next topic. But, you know, so, like, I sort of, like, get that. And I also feel like it might be the hurt from Kristen being the father of the child and, like, from Jordan being, like, essentially, like, a little sister because of Nana since she was a baby might have been different. So maybe that's why she's treating everything differently. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well,
they just shouldn't involve us when things go sour because, honestly, right. I'm chilled. Anything else happen, I'm just like, do you, girl, bye.
Just leave us out of it.
Leave us out of it, please.
Exactly. And during this quarantine, I feel like Chloe's life and Tristan's life are, like, during the quarantine, it's been happening like nothing is happening. Like, there's no quarantine at all. But there's also been new allegations of a woman who's been claiming that she has Tristan's child. So now I'm like, now we're looking at Chloe like, girl, seriously.
I'm serious about this. I know. You know,
I think she needs to, self-esteem is an interesting thing. I think a lot of people, we talk about having self-esteem, having self-love, but these are the testing moments where you actually test, Uti, where does your self-love actually, on the Richter scale, how intense is your self-love and your self-appreciation and self-respect, because this ain't it, sis.
Mm-hmm. But definitely ain't it. And I think that's the consensus. They shouldn't involve us in whatever they're doing. And, you know, and like we are so done with it. And just to top it all off, Chloe posted her latest Instagram picture. I think you need to check it out. Like, go on the gram and check it out.
What's the one where she's, with the new face or something?
Yeah.
That one. She looks stunning.
She looks stunning, but she basically looks like she got plastic surgery during quarantine, and
I feel like it's makeup though more than anything. Hey,
I don't know, guys, like that.
Because we used to think Kim also got surgery on her face a lot or whatever the case is, it was actually Bonang, I think, where people like she got a lot of something. One of these celebrities. Sorry, I'm just
no, like, guys, it's like people. A FaceTime filter. What is this thing?
I feel like it's makeup, guys. Are you sure?
Oh, but her lips are definitely done. And there's a, I know there's a bronze thing on her boobs.
And not Photoshop?
She looks perfect.
Or Photoshop, maybe?
I don't know.
I can't. And you know, like, the caption that she put was, like, location and...
Under bitch's skin.
And then people were commenting, location under the knife. Oh, I love Instagram and Twitter.
Someone says, I hope you don't have Face ID on your phone.
Let me go look.
Location under the doctor's knife. Oh my God. You can just ignore the fact that's a totally different person. Oh, wow.
Right.
How many surgeries?
Yeah, but it's just a stunning picture, though.
Your people went in, guys. But you know, and this just also makes me think about the comments that people put under celebrity pictures, guys. Sometimes it's like this is a human being.
They must just clean those comments because, well, some things are not necessary. To be quite honest with you, guys, we're all human at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like sometimes people really, like, go out of the way to be mean.
But
moving from, like, Chloe potentially dating Tristan to dating in quarantine, I don't know if you ladies have read that article that was published in the Netherlands.
No, I didn't read Latin. Tell us about it.
Tell you about it. So, basically, the Netherlands government has been, the Dutch government has been, criticized by a lot of single people because they've been giving out a lot of tips, you know, and a lot of advice on like sexual health and all this health during quarantine, right? But then they haven't addressed single people. So they felt the pressure and then basically started addressing single people and saying that like the best solution for single people is that they find a cardi body to who is like not sick, obviously, so that they have like that sexual connection with somebody and then they can, you know, like then they can definitely let us sneezing in the background.
The content is spicy.
Basically, the government is advising single people to find cardi body so that their needs are met during this time, and it's gone so viral. I don't know what you guys think about
I don't know why a government would say that. I mean, honestly, like, why would the government even talk about that?
The single people are the ones that complain to say that government is not giving them tips, they are not paying attention to themselves. What? But now, the thing about it is, it's so risky. It's so risky finding a curry buddy during a pandemic.
It is.
How do you know? Unless you literally go to test the person and then you have to wait for the results. The results are taken.
Yeah.
Or whatever, and then, okay. But you don't know what happens between the time that you're waiting for those results. Do they get exposed to someone? Or are you literally isolating them before anything happens while they wait for the results?
I agree.
I'll wait for the pandemic to be over.
Yeah, I think it's a challenge. And I'll probably be speaking from a place of privilege. So that's why I'll probably just like sit that one out.
You know, I was saying the same thing. I am like literally sitting it out up to the pandemic. The problem is that, guys, even if you have a cardi body, even if they don't have COVID, the problem is that they don't stay with you. Like, well, in this case, in the Netherlands, they don't stay with you. So you don't know if you're only seeing each other every weekend. You don't know what they get up to during the week. They might be exposing themselves like every single day. And I'm just like, that is a recipe for disaster. And if it had to be, like, I was thinking about it in context of Joburg, and I'm just like, not in Joburg. Even if we're allowed to visit people, I'm like, not in Joburg.
People here don't listen. Hey, people here just do whatever they want. Go hang, have brides. So for me, I think this whole lockdown thing for me has always been about me, my family, and the people that I love. So more than myself, and that's why you won't see me complain like, oh my God, I saw Lelo with her friends. So Lelo's brying and she's not listening to the lockdown regulations because that's Lelo's business, you know? But what am I doing to make sure that I am safe and I'm not spreading anything or catching anything, or how am I protecting my family? So people are seeing the lockdown as a favor to the government, and the government's not doing anyone favors or they're requiring favors from everyone. This is just a way to make sure that we don't contract the virus and we curb the spread of the virus, but people see it as if they're doing the government a favor by staying in. And we all don't want to stay in. Like, I don't go out unless I need to go out, and that's like once a week maybe. I don't want to live like that, but our health comes first, guys. So I don't know, people maybe need to change their mindset, I think, a little bit. Exactly. When they think about this quarantine and this lockdown thing, because yay, guys, going to by anytime.
I 100% agree with you. It's all about like just doing what we are in control of, you know, what's our part.
Exactly. Anyway,
and you know what, like, yeah, like I like how you said that it's all about you and your family and, you know, and what you're doing, and I get that, but sometimes I get like a little bit frustrated because I see people here, like I saw somebody at like 3 p.m. going to walk her dog, and I'm just like, I was staying in the same country, you know?
Some people just don't care.
Exactly, like you,
and if
don't,
you don't care. Yeah, and if you don't care about yourself, at least respect other people. I mean, you're out here, and then someone else catches it because of you, because when I was like, saying, you know, guys, people really to just get a grip. It's temporary. It's not forever. I think just remind ourselves that this is temporary, guys. Let's just get it. You remember how our parents used to always tell us, guys, school is temporary. Get it done so that you can live the rest of it. And we're done.
Exactly. And we're done. Just to wrap this up, guys, do you have any advice for singles? I'll start with Kia because...
I don't have any advice.
Singles in quarantine. Do you have any advice for singles in quarantine?
Buy toys and have Wi-Fi so that you can, use some stimulating content for your joy.
I saw on Twitter that, but I don't know if it's still open, but I saw that Tinder had like opened their premium features.
So
you could swipe anywhere in the world, but I don't know if it's still open or if it was just in the beginning of quarantine. So you could literally swipe anywhere in the world for free without paying. So if
that's cool.
An option, then you go meet other people in other countries while you're still at home. So if it really bothers you, for me it's like, it's normal. This is my life all the time.
Yeah. And,
you know, nothing new here.
Okay.
This life.
Oh my God. So like to what Lela was saying, I think it's closed now, Tinder, but I actually did it, and it's quite nice. I've been going on virtual dates, which has been quite interesting.
Oh, that's so
and you know
cute.
Me, like I believe in trying everything at least once, except like killing people or stealing. But anyways, but I do believe in trying everything once, and it's been actually quite interesting. I haven't done like a lot. I've done like three, but then
that's
it's been quite interesting. I also am not like in the space. I think we're also. We are so stressed, and it's like it's a new thing, you know, for us to sort of like get around. So I'm also not really looking for somebody a priority. But then I've been on like virtual dates, and it's been fun. So if you want to do a virtual date, by all means, do it.
I think try it out, guys. It looks very cute. Do you guys make your own meals where you are and have your own wine and then sit and then say, okay, let's go get our main course. And then you go get your main. How does a virtual date thing go?
Well, I only did it after the ban was lifted, so that somebody is, if someone is taking me out for sushi, they are bringing sushi to my house, honey. Yes, so no, I'm not about to cook so that we can go on a date. You are bringing the date to my house.
Bring it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool. So I think that's it for tea time for this week, guys. So thank you so much for, we hope, I know this was a long conversation, but we hope that you stayed with us till the end. So please leave us your comment on social media at the office, is it the Office Podcast SA or Office Podcast SA?
Office Podcast SA, yep.
Office Podcast SA on Instagram and Twitter. And please do go on Facebook and like our page as well. Leave us your comments. Let us know what other conversations you would like to hear on the podcast. So we hope you enjoyed today's conversation and, well, this week's conversation. And it was really just, you know, just for us to take our minds off the serious stuff and just relax and just laugh about the celebrities and all the fun they bring to us. So, guys, any last comments before we say goodbye? Latin?
Not really for me. I just think, you know, like to what you just said, it's been such a hectic time, and I think we just needed this time to be lighthearted and to like have fun and to laugh and not be too serious. So I'm happy that we did this.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, guys. It's been awesome. I've become so used to being home for everything now. But it was nice just to laugh at other people's problems and not just our own.
Okay, awesome. So thank you so much, guys. We will see you again next week, and we will be back on the Office Podcast. Thank you. Please, if you listen on Apple, please leave us a review, rate us, leave a comment, tell us what you like about the podcast. We really appreciate your support. And, yeah, see you online. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.